All right. Welcome all of our EduMatch family and all of our peeps to a launch of another EduMatch publishing book that we are so excited about. This book is a tad bit different than the books that we typically launch, and that makes it extra exciting. And so we have with us the author of Ship Shape, E.E. Dowd with us, which is such a fancy name. It's like J.K. Rowling, but it's E.E. Dowd. And so I am super fortunate to have her with me today to talk a little bit about her new book that we are launching. And so, Erin, why don't you get us started and we'll jump right in. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Mandy. I'm so, so excited to be here and talking to you today. Yeah, I'm an author officially. You know, I can finally say that now, right? It's for real. I was thinking about that this morning. I'm like, oh yeah. But besides that, I'm an educator. I was a teacher for many years, all over the world. Actually, I've lived in lots of different places. Now I do curriculum development, lots of boring stuff like that. Writing lessons, working with teachers. Although that's not boring. That's super fun. And let's see, I'm also a big travel fan, and I've lived, like I said, all over the world, lots of different countries. Global education is a passion of mine. The sustainable development goals, also a passion. I see Connie here. She's my SDG partner.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, in my home life, I have a fantastic partner named Tim, who I think is watching right now. He's a writer and educator as well. We split our time between New Hampshire and Costa Rica, which is very fun, very cool. We have a cranky cat named PETA who lives in New Hampshire with us. So life is fun.
That is amazing. So how does splitting that work? Because those are two totally different places. So do you spend like winter in one place and summer in the other, or? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, luckily, like Tim's a teacher down in Costa Rica. So during the school year, we're down in Costa Rica, and then all of our summers and Christmas are up in New Hampshire. So we get the best of both worlds. And I work remotely, so I can do everything from everywhere.
That is amazing. I love that. So jumping into talking about the book, what really inspired you to write Ship Shape? And tell us a little bit about Ship Shape, because again, it's a little bit different than the books that we typically release. And usually it's like, well, tell us the content of the book, but that's not really how this one works. So tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write it, and you know, just a little bit about the book as well.
Yeah, so I'll tell you about the book first, because that's the more fun part. It's a middle grade novel. So that means upper elementary school, lower middle school, like 9-year-olds to 12-year-olds. That's the sweet spot there. And this book is a lot of fun. It's about robots and artificial intelligence and a school that has a mystery of something going wrong. And we've got three friends. We've got Ben, Nate, and Ellie, who have to try to solve the mystery at Riverside Elementary. And I can't wait to read the beginning in a little bit to hopefully get you hooked on the storyline, because I know I definitely had a lot of fun writing it, and I hope everybody has a lot of fun reading it. But on the flip side, the whole reason I wrote it is kind of an odd, not really connection to that storyline of robots. Kind of a sad story, actually. I was teaching in the Netherlands, and I had a really, really awful, tough year. I was really burned out, and I know, Mandy, you do a lot of writing about burnout with teachers, and I will tell you, you could do a whole case study on what I went through. And so it was so bad that I ended up leaving teaching. And it completely broke my heart, and I didn't know what I was going to do next. I left my job with no idea what I was going to do. So I decided to write a book. I found an organization called NaNoWriMo. It's called National Novel Writing Month. And every November, it's this amazing nonprofit organization, and they are all about encouraging people to write a whole novel in 1 month. And so you write a certain number of words every day, and then by the end of the month, you have 50,000 words. And so I thought, well, I have nothing else to do. I have no job. I don't know what I'm doing with myself. So you know what? I'm going to write a book. I had no idea what I was going to write about. I had no plan. I just started typing. And what came out was this book. And I drafted the whole thing for the first time in 2013, which was quite a long time ago. But basically what it was my cathartic process of leaving teaching and going through all of those feelings and emotions and hurt, but also just pouring my love of education into this book. And so when you read it, you'll see, hopefully you'll see that come out in the characters. I have some really evil characters and I have some heroes, and you know, it takes you on a journey through, essentially through the state of education right now. And I think that's one of the reasons why adults will kind of connect with this, especially teachers, because woven through this really fun storyline of robots and underground tunnels and solving mysteries, we have a teacher who's working really hard and trying to do her best for what's good for kids, and her administrators are saying, nope, you have to do this instead. And when I first wrote it, it was like the most extreme thing I could think about. And then as the years went by, the stuff actually started happening. And I was like, man, I have to change the book and make it even more ridiculous, because the things that I thought were ridiculous started happening in US education, which is very disturbing. So you'll have to read it to find out. But so there's a couple different levels in the book. And that was a big part of it, was, you know, writing it for teachers and my experiences and my really wonderful experiences, and then also my really awful experiences in teaching. And I think, you know, I kind of brought those together. And if Cheryl is watching from Hawaii, I hope she is, she is one of my mentors and just a wonderful, wonderful friend. And she, yay, there she is. I don't know if she knows this, but she was partially the inspiration for the teacher in this story. And the teacher is named after her. So shout out to Cheryl.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Did Cheryl know that before? Did she know that before?
I don't know if I told her that yet. So if not, then she's finding out for the first time. She definitely means a lot to me.
That is amazing. And I love how, I love how you can find the state of education throughout that book, and just the idea that it would include tunnels and robots and all of those kinds of things feels so appropriate right now, because when we couldn't find it's difficult to even find the words to describe the state of education, and so if we're gonna, we might as well use robots in order to do that. So I love it. I think you might have covered this a little bit, but we'll talk about it anyway. So why was writing this book important to you? I know you talk a little bit about it being cathartic. Tell mm-hmm. us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, on those two levels, I think it was important for a couple different reasons. And, you know, one was the teacher side of me, getting that out and hopefully allowing other teachers to connect in that way. The characters, my three main characters, Ben, Nate, and Ellie, they are all very different from each other. Ben is kind of my main character. He's trying to find himself a little bit, find his place in the world through the help of his two friends who are very firmly rooted in their identities. we've got Nate, who's really into history and reading and archaeology. And we've got Ellie, who's... she's great. She's super energetic and she designs robots and she's into STEM and she does all kinds of cool stuff and she's super smart. And so you've got these really intense side characters to Ben, who's kind of floundering around trying to figure it all out, but he's got a very sweet personality and they all kind of work well together. So the characters have been really important to me. And in addition, one of the other themes that I didn't talk about yet is the idea of being a change maker. And so in the beginning of the book, The kids are challenged by their teacher to learn about different change makers in history. And hopefully through my writing also, I will inspire kids to learn from these characters and be change makers in their own lives, looking for problems and seeing how they can solve them in their own ways. So that was a really important concept for me to bring in too, not just for, you know, the adult side of things, but for kids to be empowered to see themselves as change, and they can do things and they can solve problems. And even if no one believes them, they can, they can do it.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. And maybe there's some like, you know, action figures on the horizon. Like
that would be awesome.
We have a Ben action figure and an Ally action figure. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. But it is so important for kids to see themselves in these books, right? Mm-hmm. And we definitely do not have enough literature that includes girls in STEM doing things like creating robots. And so just that piece on its own is, you know, just that there's like so many pieces of everything that's happening, but just even that one piece, it, giving, you know, the girls a character to model themselves after that does something that's so embedded in STEM is really important. So I love that piece of it too.
Thank you.
And we're going to move on to my absolute favorite part of any launch that we ever do, and that is the author reading. That is my favorite. Everybody loves the author reading. But I'm really excited about this one, being that it's like a fictional book and, you know, you're going to read the hook and I can't wait. So I'm going to disappear into the background and give you the screen, and you can get started whenever you are ready.
Okay. This is exciting. This is the first time I have ever read any of this in public. So here we go. We've got Ship Shape here. And as I mentioned, this is the prologue. So this is kind of before anything happens in the main book. So here we go. The barbed wire surrounding the neglected factory reached up to the sky, coiling viciously into the stormy sunset. Piles of old tires and debris were scattered all around, and the metal siding on the buildings had begun to rust. The yard was packed down, not a sprig of green in sight. Inside, the machines grumbled and sighed well past their regular business hours, as if they knew they weren't supposed to be working. A group of students walked past this desolate space, searching to salvage materials for a camp project. The old factory appeared to be the perfect place. Most of the windows were boarded up, and rusted machine parts were stacked high near the barbed wire fence. Nuts and bolts littered the yard, waiting for a new purpose. It was getting late, but the kids were determined. They crawled through a small opening in the bottom of the fence, away from the road where no one would see them. They would only stay for a couple of minutes. The kids split up in pairs with their backpacks open, ready to gather as much as they could carry. A girl with bouncing curls led the way. Despite the smoke floating from the pipes and the specks of light filtering through the dirty windows, the factory seemed deserted. At first, the kids didn't notice any movement around the building or shadows in the windows. Upon further examination, they found trucks idling in the back of the warehouse, and shadowy figures rolling carts full of coffin-sized boxes with colorful labels into the cargo area. The machines were efficiently churning out a new product. The kids couldn't tell what they were making, but they didn't want to stick around to find out. While her campmates crawled back through the opening in the fence, grabbing what they could on the way, the girl with the bouncing curls decided to get a closer look inside the building. She hid behind an empty plastic barrel next to the warehouse, holding her breath as she noticed a dark figure creeping toward the window directly above her. Before she could make out a face, a rat ran over her foot. She shrieked and jumped up. Fearing the shadowy figure had seen her, the girl ran across the yard and dove through the hole in the fence. Frantically sprinting back to camp with her heartbeat pounding in her ears, she didn't bother to look back.
Oh my, I love the bouncing curls. Like I can see that in my head. I love it, love it, love it. So sweet, amazing comments coming through as you were reading, and I didn't want to interrupt you, so we have them here. Connie says your expression and descriptive writing are amazing. Jennifer said the same thing. Jen said the same thing. The girl with the bouncing curls, I can already picture her. I didn't even read that. And I said, yeah, so it must have been descriptive. Jen says, I want more. Greta says, amazing. So, so much fun. I love that. There was another one too. Alexis said, I like the kids to add some mystery. I already knew their names. And so just, you know, I had that in my head, but it really set it up well. So I absolutely love it.
You'll have to keep reading because the kids in the prologue might not be the same kids that you meet in the beginning.
Oh my, okay, wow. Now, can't you read just a little bit of chapter one?
Hey, if we have time, I will.
So that's awesome. So do keep the comments coming. We are going to be choosing winners of books at the end of the launch, and you must be present to win, but we're going to be choosing them from the comments. So the more comments you make, the better chance you have to win. So do keep them coming. So we are going to go back to some of our author questions. And we've talked a little bit about this, but who is the audience for Ship Shape?
Yeah. So the main audience, middle grade novel. So our focus audience is 9-year-olds to 12-year-olds. So middle grade, typical middle grade. It does have some scary parts. So your lower end, the 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, you know, depending on, you know, how they do with scary stuff. You know, it might be more of a read aloud or, you know, read with your parents kind of thing, but anybody older is definitely a target audience. And like I said, you know, I wove different themes in. So, you know, hopefully it's like one of those Pixar movies where it's got those different layers. So like the parents can enjoy it too, and as the kids enjoy it on a different level.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. Kind of what like a lot of times the authors will provide other resources or something to enhance the book, something to go with the book. What other resources would you suggest for readers? And then where can they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my website, eedowd.com, is probably the best place to go if you sign up for my newsletter coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'll have lots of different resources about all sorts of things. So in general, not related to the book, I've got lots of cool creativity exercises that you can do that are lots of fun. I'm also going to have lots of things, activities and other things that go along with the book. I might release some never before seen chapters that, you know, I told you this editing process took like 8 years. So I've got a lot of chapters that I didn't use. So there might be some like new material. I'm also going to be hosting some book clubs and for kids, families, teachers. All that information is going to be coming up on the website. So lots of cool things in store. I'm really excited to share all that stuff with you. So sign up for the newsletter and you'll be the first to know when I've got new stuff live.
Yeah, absolutely. So what other projects do you have going on? Are you writing a follow-up book to this by any chance? Or like...
Oh, what else good question. Do you
have? Because you've got a whole bunch of stuff going on all the time.
I do, yeah. I can't. I was thinking about that today. I'm like, I always have 15,000 things. Yeah, you know, I that is one of the things I'm going to be figuring out very soon. I've started a couple other books already. Totally different themes, totally different topics. But I did leave this one open for a sequel. So there might be
very
a sequel
good.
Coming your way, depending on, you know, how it's received. So we'll see. But
That's
before
amazing.
We go on, Mandy, can I just take a minute to say some thank yous to some people?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Okay. Of course.
Yeah. I want to make sure before it's over, there's some people, lots of you are here today watching, that I wanted to just extend my gratitude and huge thanks to the people who made this possible and have supported me for a very long time through this journey. 8-9 years now is a long time to be listening to me talk about this book. So here we go. So I mentioned Tim before, my partner, my best friend. He's amazing. This book would not be here without him and his support and his editing skills and his honest feedback, which is so, so important. My parents, who I think are watching too, Jim and Mary Beth, hi. Happy anniversary tomorrow. My sisters, Jess and Kate. I'm actually at Kate's house right now. She had a baby a week ago, so I'm helping with little Hudson. So they're in the next room. extended family who has sprung into action with pre-ordering. You all are amazing. Cheryl, big love to you and Dee out in Hawaii. You all are such wonderful support. Shannon Garrity, best support system ever. Always, always giving me pep talks. She was texting me before today, like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be great. She knows I get super, super nervous. I want to make sure I list my focus group readers because they were amazing and gave me really, really good constructive feedback that definitely made this book next level of what it was. So hold on, let me make sure because I will forget if I don't read them. So we've got Tammy, Peggy, Valerie, Jacqueline, Jeanette, and Jen Williams. Thank you. And you're here tonight. and Jen also blurbed the back of the book. So thank you again for that. And yeah, just everybody, thank you all for coming today. My wonderful friends who have been so supportive. I'm so overwhelmed at all the positive feedback I've been getting. I was not expecting it at all. And I'm just so, I'm overwhelmed, I'm thrilled, and I'm so grateful for
Well, you're such a sweet and kind person that I'm glad for you to get all of the positive feedback that you can possibly get. And yeah, it's great that Jen did that. And here, you know, she said here, cheering you on, always grateful for our friendship and inspiration all these years. Jen Williams is one of the probably most authentic people that I know, authentically sweet and kind people that I know. And so she's a fantastic addition to this book as well. Definitely one of my favorite people. And so we have Alexa says, gotta have a support system. Cheryl gives you big hearts all day long. And the one question that is in here is Connie said, book clubs locally or virtually?
Yeah, great question. So because I move around a lot, I'm going to give it a go virtually and see how that goes and hopefully get lots more voices and different perspectives in. The more perspectives, the better. And I was thinking of dividing them by kids, then families who wanted to do it together, and then having a book club for teachers and how you might use the book within your class and some other little treats in there too.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do have a few more minutes before we're going to pick winners. And so we would like to open it up to a Q&A. If you have any questions that you would like to ask Erin about her process, about where to find the book, and I'll give you a spiel on, at the end here as well on that. But anything at all that you can think of, we would be happy to answer it. So Jen said, hit us with your hashtag. Should we be following hashtag ship shape?
Yes, I have started doing that. So I will continue to do that.
Amazing. So yes, if you do post anything on social media about the book, and we encourage you to do that, of course, as you're reading, post, take a picture of a page or a favorite piece of the story, post it and say what you love about it. Use hashtag ship shape. That is an amazing way for people to be able to connect as they read the book, and also for Erin to read that. As an author, that's one of the best things about being an author, is being able to look at the hashtag and see people responding to it. So definitely do that. And let's see, Melody says, what is your writing routine and do you have one?
I'm laughing, and anybody who knows me well will be laughing too. I am, and Alexis, this is funny, Alexis and our little writing group that we've been in, we've been talking about how we're all allergic to routines and how it's just so hard. And so for the past month, for the month of July, we've been doing 12 minutes a day for writing. So just taking 12 minutes, to focus on any kind of writing project, anything you're doing. I did okay for some of it. Alexis is a rock star. She like rocked the whole month. I would love to be able to get a routine, but my routine basically involves drag myself out of bed, make some coffee, stress out about what I have to do during the day, and hopefully write a little bit at some point during the day. But yeah, hopefully I can work on that a little bit. Yes, Alexis, borrowed from Linda Sue Park. So that 12-minute writing is from her.
It's from 12 minutes a day. That's just sitting down and mm-hmm. and focusing. Yeah. Yeah, I don't. That would be really hard because I feel like I'm too all over the place. It takes me 12 minutes to get into like the groove of being able to do anything. So that would be tricky for sure. That's like for ultra focused people is 12 minutes.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like a lot, but really like you can do a lot in 12 minutes. Like I found I can write over 500 words in 12 minutes if I'm like in it. So it does work.
All right. All right. Let's see. I love that because I can't seem to find writing time from 12 minutes is doable. So that is the benefit of 12 minutes as well. Since 12 minutes doesn't mm-hmm. even sound like very much. Like usually your shower is longer than that, you know? So Cheryl says, did you base your characters on any students or combinations of student characteristics?
Yeah, great question. Yeah. So I have over 10 years in schools worth of students, thousands of students that I've taught over the years. And I think I like to think that the kids and the my three main characters and then also the kids in the class as a whole are kind of like an amalgamation of like my students throughout the years. I've kind of like taken different traits from different kids and kind of put them all together. But definitely other characters, I was influenced by people I worked with, and I named one of the teachers after my fifth grade teacher. she was amazing. Mrs. Haynes, shout out. But yeah, there's lots of little influences I wouldn't say other than you, Cheryl. No one in particular was one character.
That's awesome because so many teachers will be able to find their students in those characters in as well.
So.
Because yeah, that's super cool. And then the final question: how did you decide on the analogy of robots?
Oh, you know, I wish I could remember. I really do. Like that month when I drafted. I really have no, it just came out of me. I don't even know. I had no plan. I had no outline. It was just like, I would sit and I would type and words would go on the page. And like, somehow my brain just made that connection. I think back to that all the time. And I'm like, how on earth did I come up with this? Because it's really kind of like odd. And it's got a little like taste of sci-fi to it a little bit.
Are you a big sci-fi reader or not? Really?
I like it. I like certain things like Ray Bradbury. I'm a fan of, I wish I had a better answer. That's kind of a terrible answer, but, maybe one day it'll just like come back to me and I'll remember, but, great question.
Yeah, that is a great question. And I think like with you doing it so long ago that maybe at the time you had a reason, who knows? Like it could have been something little that happened in one day that set off the robot thing. But
creativity is weird like that, right? All it takes is like a walk or an image or
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. It is the way our brains work when it comes to being creative is pretty awesome. So we're going to wrap everything up here. We're going to do our giveaways. So are we giving away two books? Is that correct?
Yep, two books.
Okay. So again, I'm going to, I think first we need to give the cat a shout out. That's important.
Oh yeah. So PETA, my lovely cat. I'm sure she's causing quite a ruckus. So thanks.
So PETA's gotten her shout out. So we're going to, what I'm going to do is I'm going to scroll through the comments. You're going to tell me when to stop. And then the person sort of on the top of that is the person who's going to get the book. And we're giving two books away, right? You said yes to that.
Yep.
I got distracted by the cat eating a shout out. So, okay. So here we go. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay, Rochelle Poth would be the one getting the, she's actually another EduMatch author that had popped in probably on Facebook. So Rochelle, in order to get your book or any the next person who wins a book as well, you're going to go to the website or contact Erin on Twitter, and she will get your information from you in order to send you the book. And so Erin, go ahead, you can pick again.
Okay.
Cheryl with the heart. So she is getting a copy as well. I have a feeling Cheryl's going to know where to get a hold of you. So that is amazing. And so that's all for today, folks. Thank you so much for joining us with this launch of our newest book, Ship Shape by E.E. Dowd. And we had a whole conversation about, like, do we call her E.E. or do, like, how do we refer to her? So if you have any thoughts on that, please do send them her way. Maybe use hashtag ship shape. That is a lot to say in one sentence, especially quickly. But please do use our hashtag as you're reading the book and give her shout outs, because again, that is an amazing thing about being an author, is being able to see those things. If you are interested in a discount on bulk orders, you can contact Dr. Sarah Thomas. Just 10 books, EduMatch Books gives a discount on a title that's being purchased. And so we're really excited to be able to offer that on ShipShape as well. You can also find ShipShape on in any place that books are sold. So BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, on EduMatchPublishing.com, and also look for all of the amazing things that Erin has coming up in the next few months in regards to her new resources and her book signings. Keep an eye on her website for that as well. And so, Erin, such a pleasure to have you on for your launch tonight. Thank you so much for being here. And to the EduMatch family, have a great night.
Thank you so much, everyone.